Tune in for an exclusive and permanent deal just for you. Get ready to immerse yourself in nature with an ongoing offer of 20% off all Strawberry Cough feminized cannabis seeds, exclusively designed for our valued podcast listeners. When you head over to homegrowncannabisco.com and use code COUGH20 at checkout, that's COUGH20. It's time to embrace the power of nature and embark on a growing experience like no other. Well, here we are. Today, we have a recap episode due to the fact that we had a guest that canceled on us last minute. You know, stuff happens. People get sick on occasion. And so we hope you get better. So my wonderful producer, Nate Hammer, came up with this wonderful idea. Really, it is. It's a really good idea. Our recap episode is going to start with episode 1 through episode 15. And episode 1 was super cropping, that wonderful method of enhancing the yield on your plants. And just remind everybody that there's a bunch of super cropping videos out there on we have a really good one on homegrowncannabisco.com that's really in depth from beginning to end and talks about literally step by step how to do it and why you should do it. And of course, the reason why you do it is because you get bigger, stronger plants that don't get as tall. And it helps you maximize vertical height. Minimize vertical height so that you can maximize the overall space in the garden. Super cropping, yes. I could talk about super cropping forever. Super cropping is actually a conglomerate of techniques, anything to do with yield enhancement, you know, from passive to, you know, bending and tying to actually breaking and snapping, which is what super cropping is. So that was episode 1.
Available on YouTube now.
And on to episode 2. Episode 2 was actually the history of the strawberry cough. Boy, the strawberry cough. What can I say about her? I've been carrying her around and passing her around for 25 years now. And the controversy goes good and bad. And, oh, Kyle, you're a thief. Oh, Kyle, you're an angel. It's an amazing story. People love to hear it. And I love to tell it. And I love all the pros and cons and the baggage that's come along with it, because it's still actually my favorite strain to smoke. And there she is, over my shoulder right there. Mama Strawberry. And just for those who don't know, Strawberry Cough is basically an unknown strain, clone-only strain that was given to me by a friend of a friend in about 2001, maybe. And I brought it back to New York, and several people started cloning it by the thousands, and it soon became the number one selling delivery weed in New York City. And then it became the strain they used in Children of Men. And then when I moved from New York to California, I tucked a tray full of clones, strawberry cough clones, in the trunk in the back. And as I made my way across the country, I gave them out in every state where I knew somebody. And that was the legend of strawberry cough was born, you know? And what else can I say? Oh, what I mean by clone only is there's never been an actual mother or father that anybody could make them from. So there have been a few attempts to make successors to them. And of course, there's a verified feminized version that you can get on homegrowncannabisco.com. So on to episode 3 was about sustainable growing. And a reminder that our favorite plant is a wealth of environmentally friendly goodness, and that you can do everything with the cannabis plant. Learned that in The Emperor Wears No Clothes, The Emperor Wears No Clothes by Jack Herer. You can make everything from plastic to dynamite out of the cannabis plant. Yeah, who knew? We love to smoke it, we love to eat it, we love to wear it. Just don't smoke hemp. Eat hemp, wear hemp, just don't smoke hemp. Well, I guess some people like to smoke hemp too, but I don't. I like to smoke cannabis, sativa, cannabis indica, and THC plants. So a lot of people like to smoke CBD, and people would call that hemp, but it's not. The CBD plants have come a long way, and they actually have flavor and expression of genetics. And so that's really amazing. So just remember that cannabis is part of the whole ecosystem, and you know, it goes well in a garden with other crops. Episode 4, we had our first guest. That was fun. Jay Kitchen, author, and cannabis cultivator extraordinaire. And we talked mostly about the art of drying and curing. That was a good one. We had fun with that. And you might want to replay that one, where we went over pretty well step by step on temperature and humidity and some pretty practical home methods on how to make sure that you put the same amount of effort into drying and curing your plant as you do all that time of growing it, right? You can't spend months growing it and then hurry the drying or curing. That was the point of that episode. And then on episode 5, we went right on into maximizing your yield, where I came up with tips on exactly that. You know, for the home grower, simple tips that people may not have thought of or may overlook to maximize your yield. One of the most recent ones that I stumbled on lately is nighttime VPD. You know, I thought I had it all memorized in my head and that I could just make simple changes with the temperature, and I forgot to change the dehumidifier. And you got to match up your temperature with your humidity and make sure that there's a really good VPD for nighttime according to the cycle you're in. It's really important. And it was just something that I overlooked. And now a little change. Those few yellow leaves that were showing up on the plant, they're all greening up. And then episode 6 was our Croptober special, where I shared some special stories. I wasn't always just an indoor farmer. Had some outdoor stories in Mendo to mention, and I'm sure we had some special tips to mention about both indoor and outdoor harvesting. Look out for that drop-down menu. It should pop up any time now. There it is. And you can just click on that. It'll take you right to the episode you need, and you'll check that out. And then on to episode 7, which was our breeder episode with Leo Stone from Aficionado. That was an awesome episode. Seemed like we talked and talked. And man, you know, it's just amazing to think that I've ever bred anything and never actually bothered to let my males grow out to develop a full structure to decide if they were anything I wanted to move on with. I just got lucky enough and found out that the cross, that male that I chose for the Star Dog, man, that just killed it. And that Starberry was great. So that was a great episode. Don't forget to look back on that one. And then in episode 8, we had another kind of semi-catastrophe that turned into a wonderful impromptu Q&A with my buddy Nate Hammer sitting next to me.
Guap!
That was fun, and I guess that was just a Q&A where we ran through a bunch of questions. And this is just another good time to mention, please, you know, interact with the Homegrown Cannabis Co. / podcast. And you can leave recommendations for people you'd like me to interview, questions that we answered, or maybe even topics or subjects that you'd like us to cover on future episodes of GWA. And then on to episode 9, where our guest was Todd Salemi from Organics Alive. And that was very enlightening and got quite earthy about, you know, really a whole new technology of nutrient technology invented by the man himself on how to grow cannabis organically with a commercial fertilizer, which, man, I can't tell you, is amazing. I tried to do it, and so I know the technique and the tenacity that goes into that. So much respect to that. Please check out that episode on Organics Alive. Then in episode 10, we interviewed Matthew Gates. We did an episode on powdery mildew and IPM. He has a consulting company, Zenthanol, and he goes by Sink Angel on Instagram. He's an extremely helpful educator. I really appreciate that. We're going to be featuring more educators on Grow Weed at Home, and that was a really good episode. Got a lot of good traction and a lot of good questions, and we're definitely going to have him back and widen the topic on IPM with an expert. Very important stuff. And then episode 11, we delved into the seed to certification journey with Derek Gilman from Gangier. Was not only that, Derek is an old friend and extremely experienced grower, now living in Northern California under the Redwoods and right by home of the Gangier campus, and servicing all the wonderful people who are lucky enough to be able to personally visit the campus for the finishing of their courses. I really respect that. And again, it's all about educating, and culture is a big, important part of that. As we move forward rapidly and super fast into the future of AI, it's important to bring our cannabis culture into the future as well. Episode 12, we had a riveting episode about performance and pot with Ricky Williams, formerly Heisman Trophy winner of the NFL and 11-season NFL pro linebacker, running back. That's right. See, I'm not a football guy, but I remember
that. Heisman Trophy in college.
Yes. No, I know that.
That's coming from an Englishman.
I know that. Ricky is so much more. We all know of him because of that, but man, he's an extremely sagely type individual. And every time I speak with him, I get brought to a level of, it's an empathy and an understanding for our fellow brothers and sisters. And so check him out as well. And then episode 13 was all about dirt and discovery. And thanks for a fascinating interview from Patrick King, the Soil King, as he's known in the industry. Another wonderful old-time friend connects me to my roots here in California, no pun intended. He had a lot to say about sustainability and clean living and clean growing. And he's a wealth of knowledge on that stuff. Please check him out on Instagram and on YouTube. He's got a seminar coming up on sustainability and sustainable growing in Syracuse, New York, I believe it is, at one of the SUNYs. So good luck with that. And in the most recent episode 14, we plunged into the bubbling secrets of making bubble hash with Marcus Richardson, known as Bubble Man, another close longtime friend who has been in the industry for decades, just making the world a better place by his presence and the industries that he's affected, and spent another one who spent a lot of time online, giving of his time to help educate people on the finer arts of hash making. And thanks to Marcus Richardson. So here we are, episode 15, and we're going to do what we do best when a guest drops out, is we're going to do a segment of Q&A. Don't forget that you can be involved with the Q&A. You can get your questions answered by going to homegrowncannabiscode.com/podcast and leave your questions there. And our wonderful staff will go through them and weed out the best ones. And here we go. And he'll hand me a wonderful iPad with all the best questions.
I don't know how wonderful it is.
It's wonderful.
It's like a first generation.
It's wonderful.
Right.
It's wonderful. I hear the music playing in my head right now. It's funny, it says David Love, and I saw David Lee I was thinking David Lee Roth. I thought I was going to say, hi, my name is David Lee Roth. That's not what it says. It says,
Are you ready to take your cannabis cultivation game to the next level? Well, hold on to your buds because we have an amazing offer just for you. Are you familiar with Strawberry Cough? This legendary strain has delighted cannabis enthusiasts worldwide with its mouthwatering flavor and uplifting effects. Lineage? Sure, let's dive into it. Strawberry Cough is a delicious cross between Strawberry Fields and Haze. Its distinct strawberry aroma and sweet taste make it a favorite among connoisseurs. Now, here's the exciting news. We're offering a fantastic deal on Strawberry Cough feminized cannabis seeds. You'll receive 20% off your purchase on any pack size of these seeds when you use code COUGH20. That's COUGH20. That's COUGH20 at homegrowncannabisco.com. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to grow your own Strawberry Cough. Whether you're a seasoned cultivator or a newbie looking to explore the world of marijuana horticulture, these feminized seeds will set you on the path to aromatic success. Visit homegrowncannabisco.com today and select from their wide range of premium cannabis seeds, and maybe take advantage of 20% off your Strawberry Cough seeds when using code COUGH20. Happy growing, folks! Get ready to savor the tantalizing flavors and uplifting effects of Strawberry Cough, a strain that deserves a spot in every cannabis enthusiast's garden. Check out homegrowncannabisco.com now and seize this offer before it's gone.
Hello, my name is David. Love the podcast. I listen every week. My question is, how do you figure out the strain of a plant? I recently moved from Colorado and I had my seeds get all mixed up, so I'm unsure what strain I'm currently growing. I can tell it's equatorial or sativa by the thin finger leaves and tall, lanky stature, but I'm having time figuring out the exact strain. You know, I know what that feels like, but, you know, it would have been something like if you gave me a couple of things to choose from, right? Like, it can only be of a couple of things, right? Like, where did the seeds come from? What did you start with? You know, you're gonna go by the flavor. The flavor certainly stands out. And the other main thing is the flowering characteristic. The vegging characteristic may be similar, you know, in the veg stage, you know, but when you're flowering, and if you're anything familiar with it, you should be able to sample the resin during flower and being able to tell. If not, when you're smoking it, hopefully. But yeah, that really sucks, man. That's a bummer. Next question. Hello, Kyle. I would like to know where I can get one of the giant jeweler's loops that you showed us in the harvest episode. I've been searching everywhere for one as big or bigger than that. Thanks, Tom. That's funny because I've been asked this a number of times, and I can't say I've researched it because it just came to the question now. But the guess I can give you is that it is an actual jeweler's loop. It's from my wife. My wife gave that to me, or I should say I took it from my wife when I lost my regular lighted ones that I used to use. And honestly, the lighted ones that you buy online that have a little, a little tiny LED light on them to put the light on the subject actually work better than that big one. It just looked really good for the camera, but I'm sure if you search online, actual jeweler's loops, large, extra large, you should be able to find it. It's not a very high magnification. That's the other thing. So good luck. Hey, Kyle, Tony D here from Greener Pastures. One quick question. How does your strawberry cough do in a hydro grow? Oh man. You know, you just got to feed her right, you know, and, don't overlight her. She's a little light sensitive and she'll be happy no matter how you grow her. Just don't make her think like she's not the queen of the garden, man. Because if she thinks you're not paying attention to her, she won't perform. So, the other thing is full strength nitrogen through mid flowering. Don't lower nitrogen until you get through the fourth week of flowering. Other than that, good to go. I like to hear strawberry coughs getting around a lot lately because I did several lunches and gave out hundreds of clones again and urged everybody to give them and share them out too. So I'm glad. recovered a seed from a purchase of THCA Gorilla Cookies. I germinated the seed, and after it germinated, I planted it in a soil mixture. The plant is now 64 days old. I've been topping it after it produced 4 or 5 sets of leaves. My question is that my understanding is for it to produce flower that the light cycle must be reduced from 18 to 6 to 12 to 12. My understanding that the light cycles must be reduced so the plant can flower and grow buds. Am I close to the understanding? Yes, you're not close, man. Yeah, you're right on. The cannabis plant, the way I liken it is sometimes you have to treat it like a machine, and sometimes you have to treat it like it's, you know, it's something that you can hurt. It's alive. It's a plant, like an animal. When it's in veg, it doesn't care how long you leave the factory lights on, weeks, months, years. You can keep a mama under a vegetative light cycle, which is 18 lights, hours of light or more, forever, like a robot. And what it does is it measures, it's not going to flower until you give it 12 hours of consecutive darkness. And it measures the hours of darkness by a hormone building up in the plant. And so that's why it can't trigger to flowering until you get multiple days of consecutive 12 hours of darkness. And so, yeah, that's one of those times when, you know, it's just basically a factory. Factory lights stay on as long as you like. You can keep chopping. You can keep growing it, chopping it back in half, growing it, chopping it back in half. As long as you like, keep it healthy. Flower it whenever you want. She don't really care. I have been cloning for over 30 years with the same strain, but it lost... but lost it a few years ago due to a hurricane in the Florida Keys. My question is, can you clone a feminized strain for years without any issues, or do you really need a reg seed to produce a good mother plant? If you've got, it's about the health of the plant. If you've got a good, healthy plant that is consistently growing, you chop it back and it grows back consistently, it's gonna make good clones. Got no problem with that. It's the breeding with the feminized that I'm not so sure about. But cloning, no problem. Keep that sucker going as long as you like. The thing is, don't overlight it in between crops. So, you know, if you can, for a month or so, just turn the lighting down. I'm talking about the strength, not the hours. And we have our last question from Cousin Smooth. As far as CO2 goes, 0.9 VD at night, but how do you keep the tanks running while exhausting the stagnant air out of the tent? It sounds as though extra CO2 will be required to compensate for the exhaust to reach the desired PPM inside the grow tent, and thus will need more money for CO2 costs. Does your expertise concur? I'm a little bit confused because I understand the question during daytime, but at night, you're lowering the temperature and you're also lowering the CO2. I don't supply any CO2 at night, but ambient CO2 when I lower the temperatures to normal nighttime temperatures, you know, like just 10 degrees lower than daytime temperatures. What you're asking is extra CO2 will be needed if you're needing to vent during the grow cycle, during the on, because the tent gets too hot. Then yes, you will need to. That's why I don't grow in a tent during the spring or summer. I only grow in a tent during the winter going into, I grow in the fall going into winter and winter going into spring, like right now, because my tent is sealed and I get 85 degrees naturally. And I don't need to really run the HVAC equipment. And so, yeah, so if you have to, just try cracking the tents, you know, up top. Allow some air exchange if you have to lower your humidity or lower your temperature in your tent. Don't use the lower cracks in the tent, the lower openings. Just try the one in the front, one in the back, and see if you can equalize things. A little CO2, a little extra CO2 is not super expensive. But I will admit, when the tents are closed, I do save a lot of money. A 25-pound tank will last me 2 weeks as opposed to half a week. So yeah, there is a big difference. Well, that's our last question for today. And I want to thank everybody for sending in questions. Please keep doing that. Send your questions to homegrowncannabiscode.com/podcast, even though it should be podcast. It's podcast. And send your questions in. And I hope to get to all your questions. And I look forward to answering the really good questions live on our next podcast. Thanks for joining us again, and I hope you'll join us for our next episode of Guac!